Hey everyone, welcome to episode 23 of Student Radio Stories. This is an interview episode with Pascal McGuay. Pascal is currently studying a Master's in Radio and is part of his university student radio station Spark Sunderland. Pascal is also the current operations officer for the Student Radio Association and has an interest in specialist music. Let's get into the interview and hear more from Pascal about his radio journey so far. So I'm here with Pascal McGuay. So Pascal, where did your interest in radio begin?
It was quite young, I suppose. Well, I'm actually not that young. I got a radio, like a digital radio CD player, tape player thing. You know, it's got it all in one for one of my birthdays quite a few years back. I want to say sort of maybe 10 years old. I started listening to Radio 1 really frequently. So my general thing was I'd listen to Scott Mills because he was on the Drive Time show. Like generally whilst I was doing my homework and stuff, put a bit of interest in there. And then what would happen is I'd hit the end of the Scott Mills show and the Zane Lowe show would come on. And that's what really, really got me interested in radio because... I mean, Zane Lowe is essentially the reason I wanted to get into music. To be fair, I'd probably be saying the exact same thing if I was like, you know, 5 years younger and I'd been listening to Annie Mac doing the same slot. That sort of the new music slot, that sort of early evening show really inspired me. I absolutely loved it. I loved listening to, you know, his smooth Kiwi tones every evening telling me about all this different music, all this like fresh great stuff. It broadened my music taste. It made me really interested in like specialist music programming. I think that's what really inspired me to sort of, I wanted to get into radio, but it wasn't really something that was discussed that much. I think I vaguely talked to like my careers tutor about it, but I went to a school where it wasn't like arts and creative like media stuff wasn't really prioritized at all. I've always been very good at like STEM and sciences and that. And I always had other interests as well. So I sort of like, I ended up pursuing that a bit more early on in like my career, I suppose, rather than focusing on the radio, but that's always been an interest for me. And music has just always been my life. So radio being this medium where you get to explore new music and express new music, that's always been like my jam.
So I understand you are currently doing your master's in radio. What made you want to first join your student radio station when you started out taking your undergraduate degree?
So essentially the same reason, like my passion for radio hadn't really died away. I'd started listening to radio less by the time I hit uni because I had a lot less free time. The homework I was doing, I couldn't really like listen to the radio in the background anymore and stuff like that. But I knew I was like, out of all the sort of hobbies and stuff, I knew I wanted to join the radio society. I knew I wanted a show. I knew I wanted to mess around with all that sort of stuff. So it was kind of a no-brainer to get involved straight away. I knew it. It wasn't like I walked past the stand at Freshers' Fair and I saw Bailrig FM and I was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. I was like, right, I'm going to Freshers' Fair. I'm going to have a little peruse around the stands, but I know I'm going over to talk to the guys at Bailrig FM because I want to get involved. So it was never really an option for me to be able to not do it.
So I suppose you've had the best of both worlds because you said you'd been able to do your STEM subject. And so what made you want to move from doing student radio as a hobby alongside your maths degree to then taking radio as a master's course?
I think it was a combination of things. It's a classic story here in student radio, the, you know, not doing a media degree and then ending up spending more time doing student radio than your actual degree. That rings pretty true with me. By my third year, I was spending a lot of time on student radio. I mean, even in my second year as well, when I became head of music at Bailrig FM, that took up a lot of my time. It says a lot that I put my scheduling updates on the same level as priority as my like maths coursework. So yeah, it was, it was a combination of me getting more involved and more into the student radio, but also me kind of losing interest in the maths to a certain extent. I love maths as a subject. I think it, I mean, on, it really interests me. A lot of people don't really feel that energy about it, but sort of high level, like abstraction and stuff like that is really, really interesting to me. I mean, when I first joined uni, I thought I wanted to be an academic. I thought I wanted to do like a PhD and end up like teaching and stuff like that. I think it became clear to me during my degree that I wasn't really cut out for academia. And that's the case for a lot of people. A PhD is, a master's isn't easy for most people. A PhD, you really need to be sort of the best of the best to be able to do that sort of thing. And so then obviously when I had to sort of shift focus from being like, right, I want to do maths for the rest of my life. I want to do like abstract pure maths for the rest of my life. I had to think, right, so what do I want to do with my maths degree? And I had to look around. I had to look at the sort of jobs and stuff that were available, a lot of them to do with banking, a lot of them to do with sort of office jobs, some of them, a lot of them to do with like weapons manufacturing as well. A lot of them more stats based than pure maths based, because, you know, obviously there's the application element there. And it just didn't really interest me. Vaguely considered teaching for a bit, but even then it's not really, teaching is something I've never really been particularly interested in. So I think it was the combination of sort of not seeing a natural progression, at least not a natural progression that I would be particularly interested in with my maths degree, and also sort of falling in love with student radio at the same time.
So what involvement have you had in your student radio stations, firstly Bellrig FM and now Spark Sunderland?
So it was kind of like a crescendo of involvement in Bellrig FM. I suppose that's true for quite a few people. I started off at Bellrig doing one weekly show, 1 hour a week with a mate. I was the very much the sort of like, come in, do your show, and leave sort of guy. I didn't really stick around that much to socialize with the people there. Didn't really get involved with most of the other stuff. I didn't really get super engaged in the community. But in second year, that changed for me. I think one of the things that really sort of changed that was the fact that I wasn't living on campus anymore. So, you know, when your first year, if you live on a campus uni, you go to your lectures and you can, you know, you can head back home and have some lunch, you know, or you can just head back home and chill out for a bit. But obviously when you're living off campus, a space where you can just, you can't just go back home straight away unless you, you know, you live really close to the campus. And Lancaster's like a good 20-minute bus ride there and back to the main city. So it was really cool having like a communal area that I liked. I mean, there were common rooms, there were like cafes and stuff on campus, but like the student radio station was essentially like a private common room where I knew everyone that was in there. I could get on and do some cool stuff in there, that I had access to equipment that I, you know, isn't really available to anyone else. And I just really appreciated like having that space. It had a TV, had sofas. I just really enjoyed spending time there, got to know the people a lot more. And so when it came up for a management position, I really wanted to be head of music because, like I said, I'm obsessed with music. And I did that for a year, sort of one-man music team, which was quite stressful, I'm not going to lie, but I powered through that. And then sort of in my third year, I'd never really planned to be station manager, but it sort of came to be that no one was really interested in being station manager by third year. I thought, well, I'm just gonna be head of music for another year, I'll enjoy that, and then, you know, I'll see where I'm at from there. And at that point I still thought as well I'd be sticking around in Lancaster for a master's, so I thought I might as well, you know, just see what happens another year's head of music. But I just sort of realized like Bellrig needed a leader, it needed a station manager, and I thought, well, I might as well do it. And I'm not gonna lie, being station manager isn't as fun, especially considering like the situation I was in for most of my time there. And I was only station manager because I didn't carry on to my next year of course for about 4 months, I want to say. But it was an incredibly intense 4 months. And I think I proved a lot of things to myself in terms of like leadership, management, etc. And I thought, you know what, I might as well, I want to pursue this. If I don't try it out now, if I don't try and get into media, if I don't try and get into something related to music, I'll probably be kicking myself for the rest of my life. So I signed up at University of Sunderland. They offer a master's in radio. I think it's called Radio and Podcasting now. They've changed the name of the course to make it a bit more modern. And I got stuck in straight away. I mean, it wasn't really a question of whether I was going to be involved with Spark or not, because it's essentially part of your course as well at Sunderland to be part of the uni, because it is a media course. So I took on a specialist music show, a daytime show. I got involved with sort of head of music stuff, although I did find it quite hard to sort of assimilate into that, because ironically, I wasn't used to working head of music in a team. I was very used to a much smaller scale sort of head of music thing, where I would just sort of sit, do my own thing for like a few hours a day. So I sort of like drifted in and out head of music thing. I did content production. I sort of put my fingers in many of the pies available at Spark, because it's a really interesting, very different vibe to what I was used to at Burry, because it is trying to simulate what you move into into the industry. So yeah, I really enjoyed all that. And I suppose whatever comes next for me, I'm not sure if I'll get any more presenting opportunities in terms of like industry, but I probably will start getting involved with community stations as well for the next year once my degree ends.
Well, you've certainly been busy in the student stations you've been in. So what have been some of your highlights during your time in student radio so far?
Oh, that's a good one. I really enjoyed presenting the student radio chart show. I did that for 2 years at Bellrig. Really fun shows. Battle of the Bands. We Bellrig organizes the campus Battle of the Bands at Lancaster, and I really enjoy getting involved in that. Even though I wasn't like the lead for that, but I did really enjoy sort of like that as an event. I suppose my biggest one, the thing that I really enjoyed was near the end of my final year at Lancaster, I organised the 50th anniversary reunion for Bellrig, and that was really fun. I got to meet a lot of the people that were involved back in the day, and we had a nice time. We had a barbecue and everything like that. So that was nice. I think a lot of the stuff that I at Bellrig that I enjoyed was a lot more to people. I'm not to say I wasn't proud of my content that I made there, but I really enjoyed that sort of stuff. A lot of the interviews that I've been able to do have been really cool. I think my favorite interview, which unfortunately the audio for it is completely lost, so no one will ever be able to hear it, or I can't really prove that I did it, but I interviewed Jeff Wayne with a friend, the guy who did, and I know it's a bit of a dated reference, but he's the guy who did the musical version of War of the Worlds, which was an album I really loved, especially when I was younger. And me and a mate who were both obsessed with it, we got this opportunity out of nowhere, and we had like a 50-minute discussion essentially fanboying over him, which was really, really cool. Yeah, just a few. I really enjoy guesting on shows. I think I like the pressure of just sort of like rocking up and just chatting a bit, or you know, playing a game or something. So some of the shows at Bellrig were really creative. Shout out to Coffee Burps when that was running. That was a sort of surreal parody radio show that was run on Bellrig, where they would the way I described it to people, it's like a mixture of like the Eric Andre Show and Alan Partridge. In terms of sort of like how the format was. So that was quite fun when I did that. So yeah, a lot of highlights at Bellrig. At Spark, it's a bit more professional stuff. So one of my favorite things has been doing Freak Beats this year, which is my specialist music show, really alternative music, and getting involved with some of our like larger scale stuff. So the election coverage was really interesting. I got to interview politicians for the first time, which was a different experience. I was used to interviewing musicians, being a bit more, I suppose, confrontational and a bit more probing with my questions there. So yeah, I've definitely, I know that's probably far too many highlights, but you know.
So what do you enjoy about being part of student radio?
I think creative freedom is one of my favorite parts. I think also, I mean, obviously, not to say that it's a space where you can be like lazy or whatever, or you can it's not meant to be work that you can take pride in, but I think the ability for it not to be super serious and a place where you can make mistakes and it not really feel like the end of the world, I think that's a really useful space, because like, radio is it's quite high pressure, especially in the industry, and I think having a place where you can experiment and you can also you can mess up, and the consequences for messing up aren't super severe, I think having a space where you can do that sort of stuff is really good. And the community, I love, you know, the people, the friends that you make and everything. I think a station that has like a really cool tight-knit community, they're the best stations.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like everyone in my station and the other stations that I've talked to, they just have such a strong community in student radio.
Yeah, no, it's super important. Obviously, you know, I think there's differences between different stations. You know, like I've obviously seen quite drastic differences between how Sparks run and how Bell Rigs run as a project. But I think, you know, depending on what you're wanting to get out of it, I think as a society, I think like the best thing you can do is have like this amazing group of people who have like a shared interest. Cause that's, you know, essentially that is what a society is. You've just got just in a student radio station, you're surrounded by a load of high tech equipment, you know?
So what made you want to be part of the SRA committee?
So my involvement in the SRA had been very limited before I actually became an exec. I'm quite an anomaly on the exec board, especially when I first joined. I'd never been to awards. I'd never been to conference. I'd never held a position of any description in the SRA. My main involvement with the SRA at that point had been through the Music Network and Scott Hasty. I mean, he was really the person who sort of switched me on to the great work that the SRA does. I think the Music Network is incredible, what he's been doing, him and Ben have recently been doing. So yeah, getting involved with that, doing the playlist surveys, getting really cool interview opportunities with them, doing the chart show with the SRA, that was essentially, and I'd been to like maybe one or two training days at that point as well. But I'd left uni. I was a bit of a loose end. It was probably one of the weirdest times in my life. And I saw this position going away. I wanted to get more experience in radio. My industry experience was essentially nothing at that point. I wanted to get more experience. I wanted to stay involved. I was like, I'm probably like, at that point I'd been applying for Sunderland and a few other unis, like, you know, thinking I'd really want to have a shot at this. And I saw this position, operations officer. It was a lot of paperwork, admin sort of stuff. I'd worked admin before. It's not the sexiest thing, but I thought, you know what, that kind of looks interesting. And then it turned out they extended the deadline for it. I didn't apply originally because I was like, oh, there's no chance I'll get into that. It's elected. No one knows who the hell I am, like outside of Bell Rig and URY, because the only two people I knew in the SRA at that point was Scott Hasty, who was the music officer, and Alex West, who was the Yorkshire regional officer at that point, because URY, he's from URY York, and the Bell Rig and York have a really strong connection through Roses, the big varsity sports thing every year between Lancaster and York. But I was like, not going to bother. I won't get elected in. And then they extended the deadline. And I was like, well, if they've extended the deadline, that means no one's applied. So it was very cynical of me. So I was like, you know what? Someone's got to do this job. Obviously, no one seems particularly interested in doing paperwork for the SRA. So I was like, you know what? I'll chuck my hat in the ring, see what's what. And yeah, I got voted in. No one, people thought. Interestingly enough, I have never run for an elected position opposed yet. Bell Rig, SRA, a few other places. Like I was president of the Math Society at Lancaster, never ran opposed for anything. So, I mean, most of my speeches for this sort of stuff and manifestos is convincing people that I'm better than nothing, which I feel like I've got a decent grasp on that. I'm better at convincing other people, though, to be fair, than myself. But, you know, I got in, I started doing work with the SRA. It was a very weird time for the SRA because, you know, there'd been various problems and stuff that had carried over from the previous years. and Naomi was heading it up at that point. She's been on here, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And I just saw it sort of develop from an organization that was trying to sort of continue its business as usual through quite sort of difficult circumstances to being a really stable. By the time I was like there to be re-elected, we're doing really well now in terms of, you know, the problems that we were facing in the past. And it's just been really interesting seeing it grow. I think there's loads of room for us to support students. I think now, especially in terms of the pandemic, in terms of what's going on in the wider industry as well, I think there's so much room for us to be helping students and supporting student stations. So, you know, I just love being part of that. I care about stations. I care about sort of like supporting them, standing up for them. And, you know, especially one of the things that I felt really strongly about when I came in is as well, sort of helping, seeing what we can do to support stations that are facing adversity from like student unions, universities, perhaps other groups, budgetary stuff, because I'd been on the sharp end of that at Bailrigg when I was station manager. So that was also something that really sort of inspired me to sort of get involved with the SRA.
So you've already touched on this a bit, but what does your role involve as operations officer for the Student Radio Association?
So operations officer is probably the role that people know the least about. And it's almost 100% because it's the least forward facing role in the SRA. All the other guys, you know, there's events, membership, network, chair, marketing, they get to do all the fun, like forward facing stuff. They get to, you know, they get to talk about the music network. They get to talk to the members and the ROs. They get to set up the events or the, you know, they're running the entire organization. I'm sort of at the back end doing a lot of paperwork a lot of the time. So internal documentation, I minute all the meetings, which is not fun, but you know, someone has to do it. Yeah, it's just a lot of busy work. I'm sort of the person that picks up odd jobs as well. A lot of my thing is as well providing support to other members of exec that are if they've got too much on at the minute, I'm generally the first person that needs to sort of step in there and help them out with stuff, especially if they're doing a job that requires sort of like more analysis, more sort of operational stuff. Then, you know, me going in there and helping. So some of the other stuff that I do that isn't just paperwork, I sort out, you know, travel and accommodation for volunteers at our events. I sort some of the like logistical stuff for like awards and conference. For example, if we're bringing back accommodation this year, which for conference, which spoiler alert, we are hoping to do. It'll be me sort of trying to book all the hotels and stuff, which is going to be very fun. And also this year, I've taken up a new responsibility because you may or may not have seen, we got rid of our industry liaison role. So now when it comes to talking to external companies, especially in terms of sponsorship and stuff, I work with Hannah May, the chair. We work as a team now to sort out sponsorship like between our roles. So she's mainly sort of like the face and the voice, and I'm mainly setting up contracts and doing the sort of paperwork behind our sponsorships. So that's the bulk of it.
So you sound like you're behind the scenes, but equally important to keep the running of the SRA.
I like to think if I stopped doing what I was doing, stuff would fall apart, but you never know. Yeah, I think it is important stuff. I think, you know, it's just not the fun stuff. It's very hard. I think the easiest way to put it is it's hard for me to look back on what I've done most of the time and feel a real tangible sense of accomplishment. Because, you know, when other people look back, you know, oh, I organized the award ceremony, or I put out all these cool social media content. And for me, it's, I did a lot of paperwork. So it's just sort of a different feel to it.
So you must be enjoying this role, because I understand you being re-elected as the operations officer. Why did you want to continue this role?
So a fair few reasons. I think I'm graduating in like a month's time from my degree. And I wanted to maintain my connection with student radio. I think that's pretty important. It's given so much to me. And I feel like the least I can do is do a bit of, well, I say a bit, it's quite a bit of work, but voluntary work on the side to sort of keep supporting the SRA. I think as well, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the SRA. I think we did a great job this year. Like, absolutely love Naomi for, and you know, all the other people that put in work this year to sort of stabilize the SRA and get it ticking over properly again. But I think there's a lot of work on what we need to do in terms of developing and improving what we're doing. We've got big plans. I mean, the you know, things have come to light, things that we should have really addressed a while back that we need to sort of address now properly. You know, the Black Lives Matter thing that came up sort of put into clear focus for us, like that diversity, not just within the organization, but also in student radio and the industry, is a big issue. That we need to work on. I want to really like run with that, and it not just be about that we focus on different issues as well. So I want us to be questioning like diversity in all aspects moving forward, and how student radio can be better for that, and how what we can do to make it easier for people of all backgrounds, all identities, to sort of get involved. I think as well, there's lots of like non-diversity stuff in terms of getting our tech network back up and running. There's big plans for the music network, which I probably can't really go into big details about, but I'm quite heavily involved with that. I've got a few plans of pet projects I'd like to do in the future as well. And yeah, I just think I've got more to give. And that's really why I reran.
It's great to hear that you want to help the SRA further. And coming on from this, would you like to work in the radio industry once you have finished your studies?
Yeah, that's the aim. The likelihood at this point is looking a bit sketchy. I don't know. I was actually talking to someone about this the other day, that really, if I can score some sort of consistent work or salaried work in the next year, that would be amazing, but it's not something I can bank on. The likelihood is that I'm going to be spending the next year doing any job I can find, and you know, maybe leaning more on the master's degree that I have in terms of scoring something that pays decently for the minute, and also working on side projects. I feel really strongly about, you know, creating podcasts. Podcasting is a space that I'm moving into. I'm doing my final project as a podcast. And I want to either continue doing that one, maybe do a few others with people. Also, like, new media is something I feel really strongly about. So I think the transferable skills between radio and like YouTube and radio and like streaming on like Twitch and stuff like that are really interesting. There's a lot of intersection there. And also there's a lot of stuff to be learned in terms of transferable skills. Like, these days, in terms of being a producer, you're not really expected just to be focused on audio. You need to be the full package. You need to be able to do social media, you need to be able to do visual content, you need to be able to do all sorts of like script writing, all these different skills that are not focused just primarily on audio. So I really like to sort of take some time to develop my skills through other mediums as well, learn a bit more about video, maybe mess around with some other projects. I was thinking it might be good to just do some free projects that sort of develop my skills in ways that I'd never really thought about doing, or they'd be too time consuming to do during my studies, but that I can do now, sort of add to my portfolio. So for hopefully when the industry picks up a little bit more, when there's more jobs going around, when there's more opportunities going around, I can be giving in a killer CV, a killer portfolio, and hopefully get something good going.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure it will pick up soon, and you're going to have the chance with the podcast you're going to create, which I'm sure it'll be nice to see it on social media and give it a listen when it comes out. And just, yeah, that's the best thing to do, give it a go. So from your experience so far, what advice would you give to those currently in student radio?
I would say make the most of it, definitely. you know, the reality is, you know, you're a student for, most people are student for 3 years, some people 4 years. I mean, some very lucky people are students for longer than that. I suppose it depends what you mean by lucky, but yeah, some people through other circumstances are students for much longer than that. But yeah, you've got a finite amount of time. And I think even if you're, I mean, you know, I kind of see it in two ways, the people involved with student radio. You know, there's the people who want to break into the industry, and there's also hobbyists and people who just love doing radio as like a fun activity whilst they're doing their degree. And I think for both of those people, I think I say to them, like, this is a unique experience. Even if you're looking to move into the radio industry, the sheer amount of creative freedom you have in a student radio station is unparalleled. Even in community and hospital radio stations, it's hard to find that sort of level of creative freedom. So make the most of it. Try stuff that might go wrong. Experiment. Get involved. You know, with all of that, and yeah, just get stuck in. Like, obviously, you know, if you've got to focus on your degree, focus on your degree. You know, manage your time properly. Don't do what I did and sort of spend most of third year sort of doing a degree in station management with a master's degree on the side. But you know, just get stuck in. Use it as a place where you can experiment. That's my main advice.
Well, thank you, Pascal, for being part of the podcast. It's been lovely to talk to you about all the experiences you've had in radio so far.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Thank you again, Pascal, for talking to me about your time so far in student radio and your role on the SRA committee. Good luck with your continued role as the operations officer. Stay tuned for more student radio stories to come. Bye, everyone!